Mark says what Luke and Matthew also said. This is a little bit of a maybe part two from last week, which was about the kingdom of God, about the church, who the church is, not what, but who. And I wanted to just share some thoughts out of this passage about the kingdom of God. A lot of Christians don't realize what the kingdom of God truly is. And Paul gave some really clear instructions about what it is and really detailed it out. What is the kingdom of God? But you know, we've been talking a lot about identity in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. We've spoken about a lot of those things. But none of that means anything unless we realize we are citizens of a kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world. And we've got to understand that. And the reason we have to understand that is because at the very foundation of our following Christ, we must realize that by His Holy Spirit, Jesus called us sons and daughters. And He created us and gave us that identity in Christ as sons and daughters of a kingdom not of this world. But what does the kingdom of God actually mean that we're citizens of? And simply put, the kingdom of God, it just means His kingly reign and rule. It is a kingdom, so that means anything that's a kingdom. In fact, in the Bible, the word kingdom, 316 times. I think the church is about 60 to 70 times. Jesus had a lot to say about kingdom. In fact, early on in His ministry, we just read it from Mark 1, but do you realize what just happened prior to this? What had just happened is He was tested in the wilderness. And all these things happened, and then He came preaching the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And our lives are lived as part of this kingdom. So here's the deal. If we see our lives every single day lived in a kingdom, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes my idea from I'm just going to work to I'm ministering wherever I go. It changes our perspective completely because we realize I'm part of a kingdom, and when things happen to me, I respond accordingly. I respond in that way. And so when we say we're part of the kingdom, we've got to also know it and we've got to believe it. It means that God's reign and His rule is over everything, including the interruptions, including the disruptions of life, including the questions in life. Things happen. Why? Difficulty comes. Why? Bad things. Why? What is the point of it all? We may not know, but what we do know is that we're part of a kingdom that is not of this world. Amen? And so our lives are lived as part of this kingdom. Everything that happens, there's a lens. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God has its purpose. God reigning and ruling in my life. That was the message of Jesus. His kingdom actually in us. So back in chapter 14, if you'd look with me, right back there, it said that at the last part of that, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, as I said a moment ago, right after, this comes right after Jesus was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. He had been tempted and He overcame. And this testing period in the wilderness, you think, but He's God in the flesh. Why would He have to go through this? And God really knows that He did. He had to go through that. And in that fast, I've heard it said like this, that anytime you go on a fast, Jesus went on a 40-day fast. I'm not advising any of you to do that. You probably, if normally, you could. Doctors say an average person could actually go without food for 40 days, not without water. But Jesus did this for spiritual reasons. Jesus went on this fast. Why? Because this fast was the period at the end of a sentence. This fast of Jesus was a period at the end of a sentence. I was Jesus of Nazareth, now I'm Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. I was born the son of a carpenter who trained me so that I got skills in regards to carpentry. But now the ministry begins. That fast came as a period at the end of a 30-year sentence of Jesus just being from Nazareth and being very normal. No miracles, no power, nothing really extraordinary, just living a normal life, had a trade, learned, lived, had siblings, just a normal life without sin, yes, but at age 30, something happened. And when the Spirit of God came upon his life after the waters of baptism, that was the closest the kingdom of God had ever come on earth. Jesus comes out of the water. The Holy Spirit comes. John the Baptist witnesses this and said, "This is the one. This is the Messiah." And that's his cousin. "This is the one. This is the Messiah." He noticed, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so what was happening when Jesus comes up out of the water, the voice that comes from heaven said what? "This is my beloved Son." Son. God here began calling him Son. Who was able and willing to take away the sins of the world. And he did that because he had a right to do it. He did that because he had authority to do that. And that authority, he promised, was over all things. Everywhere, anywhere in the universe, his authority, his kingdom rule will never know an end. And so all this testing that came right after that, and by the way, the temptation of Satan was right on time too, because Satan also had just heard that this is my beloved Son. And so what Satan's job now became, first and foremost, was to try to disprove that he's not the Son of God. This is not his identity. And as a side note, that is his number one aim, is to attack your identity as a son. But when we see the kingdom of this of God that we live in, Satan can try to attack all he wants. He can try to assault all he wants to, but we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so this testing period of Jesus, it was a point where it was being affirmed that I am who my Father says I am. And in the wilderness, through the three major temptations of the enemy on him, Satan tempted him, and all three, he proved it with action. I am the Son that God the Father said I was right after baptism. And that 40-day fast became the period at the end of a sentence. And then, from that point forward, what was the message of Jesus? It tells us in the second part of that verse that we read, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. He preached the gospel. That is, and you know what? He preached it and he didn't even use words all the time. We see preaching as evangelism. We see preaching as, you know, as speaking only. But Jesus, everywhere he went, he preached without words many times. I mean, he didn't preach the gospel as we know it when he turned the water into wine at Cana. But they knew who he was by his actions. And so this is not just what he spoke, but this is who he was. His life became the gospel. His life became the message. His life became the announcement. His life as a son of the living God, as the son, the only begotten son of the living God, that became his message. And he preached it not just with words, but everywhere he went, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. What is the gospel? We think, well, it's the good news. That's right. but only part right. Good news about what? We think it's the good news. Well, when I'm preaching the gospel, when I go out there and I preach, Jesus Christ came through by a virgin and he lived a sinless life and he did miracles and he died on the cross and he resurrected and he was ascended to the right hand of the Father and he's coming again. That's the gospel, yes, but that's only part of it. The gospel that Jesus Christ preached was about kingdom. It was about a kingdom not of this world. And how many believers don't realize the gospel of the kingdom is not just the message of Jesus, but it is the good news that God's kingdom has now come and can live within a person. And as his followers, this should summarize our lives. So from that point forward, if someone asked you this week, said, can you just summarize for me the life of Jesus? You know what that summary looks like? He just preached the kingdom of God. That was his message. That was his only message. That was his main message. And when he told us to go and make disciples, he was saying, let that summarize you too. Let that summarize your life. So that wherever you go, you're not just using words. You're not just thumping people with scripture. You're not just having to become some computer mind able to spout out all the verses and where they're found. Listen, it doesn't matter where the verses are found. It matters what the word is. And the word is power, and the word is truth, and the word is life. And everywhere we go, we're able to identify with the kingdom that we're part of. It's not what we say, but it's who we are. This is the essence of kingdom identity. It's just who we are. It's just who Jesus was. It's who he was. It's just who he was. He was of the kingdom morning, noon, at night. He was even part of the kingdom on Sunday morning. He was even part of the kingdom on Saturday evening or on Monday and Tuesday. Every day, every moment, everything that happened, every encounter, every disruption, every pain and difficulty, everything that he had to deal with, everything that he had to deal with, it didn't change his identity. The Son of the living God, part of a kingdom, head of all things. The next verse, 15. Says something very key. The time is fulfilled. It's very important because if it is a kingdom, it has to have a beginning. If the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven, it has to have a starting point. There has to be an initial point where the kingdom is now here, because it wasn't before that. So what Jesus is saying in his message when he went preaching the gospel of the kingdom everywhere he went and sometimes used words, he was announcing that the time is fulfilled. That simply means that Jesus initiated a movement that would bring the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God before that point, before Jesus came and died and bled and resurrected, before that happened, the kingdom of God was up there in heaven. But Jesus brought heaven to earth. Jesus prayed those words, as it is in heaven, let it be on earth. How many times recently I've prayed, in McClenny as it is in heaven. In McClenny as it is in heaven. In Jacksonville as it is in heaven. In Lake City as it is in heaven. In Lake Butler as it is in heaven. That was. But what is it in heaven? It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of our God. And so we also see right after he said the time is fulfilled, meaning the time has come, folks, and the whole earth is going to realize it, and the whole earth is going to know it. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. The time is now. Jesus was saying, before me there was nothing, but now the kingdom is here. He stands up in the synagogue, reads that, the town he was raised in. All of those people, all those elders in that synagogue in Nazareth, when Jesus stood up and quoted from Isaiah's prophecy out of the scroll, he stood up and said, this day it's fulfilled. They saw him as a little child. They saw him as a teenager. They remember Jesus running around, and now they're insulted by the fact that he would say, the kingdom is here now. Is basically what he was saying. And they bring him out to the hill, and they're ready to kill him. They would have thrown him right over the cliff. Why? His message was the kingdom. The time is fulfilled. Jesus had every right to say that. But the next part said the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? What does it mean the kingdom of God is at hand? And depending on which version or translation you look at, they all would pretty much mean the same thing. There's not many other ways you could say this, the kingdom is at hand, because it means it's very near. It's very close. It's like, it's now, you know. And so the kingdom of God is at hand means that it has come. He was announcing this. Remember, he initiated that movement that would bring the kingdom of God back to the earth. He initiated that. But the kingdom of God is at hand means that it has come and it will be fulfilled in mankind when Christ's work is complete. When was it fulfilled that the kingdom of God has come? It was fulfilled at Calvary. For them, they were looking into the future. All the prophets spoke about it, prayed about it, wished they could see it. But they didn't. But they spoke of a time that a Redeemer would come and he would free the people to be able to, they didn't realize it then, but be able to have the kingdom of God coming in. We used to sing the song, since Jesus came into my heart. You know what we were saying? What we were really saying? The kingdom of God has come in. I remember as a child, that just puzzled me. How does Jesus come into your heart? You know, you think about it, it's kind of weird when you think about it. I mean, it's a great song, and it's biblical, you know, Christ comes in and all that. But when you think about it, what are we saying? What's deeper than that? Someone asks you, what does it mean that you're saved? Would you tell them, it means that the kingdom of God is reigning and ruling in my life. That's basically what it means. It means that the kingdom of God is at hand. But all these prophets and all these people before Calvary, before the cross, before the sacrifice was complete, it was in the future. Christ's work is not complete. When it was completed when he stretched when his arms are stretched out, nailed to a cross, and he said, it is finished. What is finished? The kingdom of God has come. That's what is finished. And through his people, God's kingdom continues to be fulfilled on earth. And that's the key. There's coming a time where this world is going to truly be, once again, completely his. I mean, everywhere you go, it's completely his. At some point in the future, Christ Jesus is coming back to the earth. I don't know if you still believe that or not. But at some point in the future, Christ Jesus is coming back to this earth. And what he's coming to do is to reign and to rule literally on this planet. Where for 1,000 years a lion will lay down with a lamb. 1,000 years there'll be no more sickness. 1,000 years, nothing like what we know now is tragic. It'd be a wonderful time. But what are we looking forward to that time that the kingdom of God has come to earth. But the problem is, we think that way now. Right now, his kingdom is realized through his followers. You can go somewhere in the world, like walk out your back door, and you can't technically say, this is the kingdom of God, because it's not. It's not. It will be one day, but it's not. We've been told who the God of this world is. But here's the amazing thing about the kingdom of God is if there are no people here, there's no kingdom here. The kingdom of God speaks of his rule and reign in every single life of a follower of Jesus. And that's the difference. We think of kingdom and we think of let's build walls, let's construct castles, and let's put up watchmen on the wall because this is now a kingdom. And everywhere you go in that land, you say that's the kingdom. Not so with the kingdom of our God. In fact, Jesus rebuked them when he rebuked the Pharisees actually for saying, look over there, there's Christ. Look over here, there's Christ. And he warned us in the future of that time that would come, that time of great tribulation, when people will be saying, over here and over there. And Jesus said, you've missed it all. And he rebuked him. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in here. It's in my life. And that is the message. The kingdom of God is at hand. It means that it has come. And that it is possible. But it's only possible right now through you and you and you as a citizen of the kingdom. That's why when you walk into the Winn-Dixie, the kingdom has just come into Winn-Dixie. Woo! If you walk in Walmart, can't leave Walmart. Believe it or not, the kingdom of God can live in Walmart. Hallelujah. Now that's a stretch. When you walk in any place you go, that's the thing about it. You are seen by your Father as a son or daughter sitting at that restaurant table. Live like it. Think like it. Speak like it. Don't just be a casual Christian that on Sunday morning you come into a temple and you leave to do the same thing that you did before. Don't let church become some activity once a week. You're part of a kingdom. And that kingdom knows no end, knows no boundaries, no height, no depth. Everywhere you go, the kingdom is within you. Here's the last thing. The last part of verse 15 tells us there has to be a response to Jesus preaching. So Jesus goes about preaching after the Holy Spirit comes upon him, comes to dwell on him, the only one in history who the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus and he never sins. He's never sinned, he never sins. So that's for a different day though, right? Like you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that means you don't sin anymore? I think everybody knows the answer to that. That's for a different day though. So let me stay on track. Sometimes ADD does kick in. So it has to have, here's what Jesus preached, the gospel of the kingdom. And let's just close with this thought right here. If Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, we're told that he did, we know that he lived it, we know that the reason he could walk on water was because there was no limits, he was part of a kingdom that this world could never understand. Jesus was able to do all those things that we can't imagine doing because he didn't have any limitations like we have right now. But there has to be a response to this life of Jesus lived among people. When he goes to towns in Galilee, down in Judea, he walks through Samaria, takes a detour. Everywhere he goes, he's living the message. It's not just going door to door and telling people, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. And not just scripting it out and telling people the words. God sees it differently than that. It's just like the life you live. You just begin like oozing the love of God. And sometimes you use words, most times not. But everywhere Jesus went, he said it without even need to say it. And what was the response? Repent. Repent and believe the gospel. There's a little confusion on what the word repent means also, because we think it's somebody would like come down and would be weeping and having all the emotional symptoms of something's really going on in that person's life and in that heart. And while I absolutely agree that happens, and it probably happens more times than not, but that's not necessarily repentance. Repentance is not necessarily just crying about something or just sort of saying, oh, my bad. Repentance is actually where you change your mind. You have a change of mind that comes as a result of the remorse and guilt of sin. And you change your mind. And it's like you're not doing it on your own, but as you begin to change your mind, the Spirit of God as an agent, as an advocate, he helps you with that. He helps you to repent. How awesome is God? Jesus preached the message, repent and believe the gospel, and I'm going to help you with that. I'm not leaving you alone. The very message that he preached, the irony is, he's helping them understand it. He's helping them repent. When a person begins to repent and change their mind, you can believe it right now that the Spirit of God is working that out and working them through that and will be right there to help them unpack all that. What does it mean to repent? It's not just outward. Something outward might happen. You feel guilt. You change your mind, and outwardly, you could do all that. And just in awe of God, Lord, who am I? A sinner. I deserve death. I deserve hell. I deserve damnation. I deserve judgment. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. We've all missed it. But we're all granted the opportunity because of Jesus to receive this kingdom and to be received by his kingdom. Repent. This is the message that we once heard and believed. And this is also the message that we must preach. Make no mistake about it, when we go out being missional people, it's not just going out like... My grandpa used to have an expression for do-gooders. Come on, somebody. I don't fully think I ever knew what the definition of a do-gooder was. But it's more than that. It's more than just being missional and, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? It's more than just, you know, mowing somebody's lawn. Those are great things. Those are good things. Those are important things. They're very important. But let me tell you, never forget, church, when we go outside the doors, we are called to go and make disciples. And our message is the same message of Jesus: repent. People have twisted that along the years. Hit people over the head with a Bible. Judged people, condemning people. They themselves, maybe they were a gossip, a slanderer, jealous. Maybe they were having something going on in their own life. But for some reason, they picked on other people that didn't look like they looked. And they twisted that. They twisted the whole be ye holy for I'm holy. Twisted that. Man got involved. Tradition got involved. And before you know it, movements got started that were so antichrist and so away from God. Going back to the very fundamental thing, the kingdom of our God has citizens, and I'm one of those. And my message is to the world, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus preached the message, and we must all preach this, the gospel of the kingdom, and people will believe. That is the response. In fact, you cannot preach, and I'm not saying through words only, you cannot live a preached gospel without having a response. Either somebody's going to get angry or somebody's going to accept it. But anytime Jesus came to town, there was either a revival or a riot. But something happened every single time. Because his message, his life, his identity disrupted the kingdom of this world. And that's about all I got to say about that. Y'all want to come on and let's close out? Yes. Paul said, judge yourself, not others. Because if you judge yourself, then you won't be judged by the one who will judge. And so, I'm just going to ask us all, where do I stand? Where do I fit in to the kingdom of God? Where does that leave me? We're going to be out of here in a few moments. We're going to be moving on, going on from this place. But I can tell you some of the words that has come into your heart, it has come from one source, and that is the Spirit of God stirring you, speaking to you. Oh yeah, almost like a light bulb. I'm part of a kingdom. I'm not part of this world. If you're part of this world, you act like the world, you hate like the world, you have all the issues of the world, of the kingdom. You're worried about the things that don't matter. You're working to the bone to try to build something that's not even of God. Amen. But the kingdom that Jesus preached, it has purpose. It has definition. It has direction. It is intentional. Everywhere I go, it's missional. Because I'm part of this kingdom. Where does that leave me? I want all of you just ask yourself that question. Nobody else has to ask you that. You know. You know, where do I stand with all this? How does that affect my life? And even a more important question, have I really repented? Have I had a change of mind? Have I really just, at the end of it all, put the emotions aside, put the feelings and all that, the goosebumps, all that, put all that aside, that can come later, that's fine. But right now, am I practicing what I preached? Am I living like a citizen of the kingdom? It's up for you to decide. I pray, Jesus, I pray that this would really hit home, not just to challenge us, but to change us. Holy Spirit, you are so good. What a gift. We don't deserve your Holy Spirit, Father, your kingdom to come and live on the inside of us. We could never deserve that. But by your grace, you made a way that that would happen. Satan is losing. Satan is not winning. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God at some point. Ultimately, you win. You've purchased the victory. You've procured our redemption. You've caused it all to just fall into place, and it's falling into place. But as citizens of the kingdom, we must be ministers. We must all be priests. We must all live the message that Jesus lived. We're talking about the kingdom, folks. That's what we've talked about today. That's all we've talked about. The kingdom. The kingdom. I'm part of a kingdom. That kingdom has a king. On a throne. On a real throne. And he's over all things. Everything. Have you repented? That kingdom is at hand. And if you've not repented, you cannot inherit that kingdom of God. If you have, or you will, you have a change of mind. It's between you and your Father in heaven. If you've done that, you will inherit the kingdom. You will inherit that kingdom, both now and in the future. Jesus, whoever needs to hear this, let him hear it. Whoever needs to see this, let him see it. Change every heart and life in this place. Don't let us leave like we came. In Jesus' name.